You may be seated. Lord, we pray again you would continue to share your word with us. In your grace, amen. Well, the scene for my story today is a tiny island. The island of Patmos, off roughly 50 kilometers off the shore of Asia Minor in the Aegean Sea. Many islands dot the southern end of the Aegean Sea, the sea which is between Greece and what is now modern-day Turkey. Tiny island Patmos, to which John had been exiled as his form of persecution for preaching Christ. We're not really sure if this John was John the son of Zebedee, one of Jesus' first disciples, or he was some other John. But in any event, there he was on the tiny hunk of rock in the sea, not much else to do but to write and to pray. And he had a lot of time. There wasn't much going on in Patmos. This is what he saw in his vision, part of what he saw. And I think, you know, John was overloaded in his senses from what he saw in his vision. The book of Revelation, at least for me, is a very difficult book to understand. I have a real hard time understanding it all. And never really, you know, you go to seminary and you hear different preachers, but I think there's a real mystery in it all that no one really knows. I think John was overloaded. You know, he's got these visions that God is giving him, and we know that Revelation spoke to the people in those days. It speaks to the people in every generation. It speaks to us, and it also speaks about the future. It's a beautiful book in that way. But, you know, John is seeing terrible things happening to the earth. Things falling out of the sky. Massive earthquakes so that every continent and mountain is moved out of its place. These are cataclysmic events. And then in his vision, he sees a beast coming out of the sea and the Antichrist and a dragon and the false prophet. And all kinds of terrible, life-destroying things upon the earth. Blood and wars and famine and pestilence and deception and lies and blasphemy and persecution of the saints. Truly, the expression does fit the book of Revelation, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The apocalypse. Well, some people say it's all symbolic. Other people say the actual events in Revelation refer to actual events that will occur. I don't know. But the thing is, we know we are standing on the edge. But you know, my friends, this is not the main message of that book. This is not the main message. The main message of the book of Revelation is God is on the throne and he is alive and Jesus Christ is the source of life. And all through John's progression of visions, there is continually the praise and the worship where either he or all the myriads of hosts in heaven are praising God with all of their hearts and voices in a cacophony of praise far beyond human understanding. Myriads of voices all coming from the cherubim, the seraphim, hosts of angels that can't be counted, all praising God. This is what John sees in his vision. All stemming from the very nature of God himself in his sublime and profound majesty and glory and honor. This is the message that we are to focus on. And so, are we not overloaded again? was John not overloaded this time in a positive way, seeing all of these amazing things and hearing how his Lord, you know, is really the Lord of all. And so, I'd just like to read a few verses for you because it gives rise to the whole Christian faith, among many other things. John said, look, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, and even those who pierced him, and all the people of the earth will mourn because of him. I am the Alpha and Omega, says the Lord, the beginning and the end. I am the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. And then in his vision, John is led into the throne room of God. And he says this, I turned around to see who was speaking to me. I turned and I saw seven golden lampstands. And among the lampstands was like someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet with a golden sash around his chest. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow. His eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace. His voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his hand, he held seven stars. And out of his mouth came a sharp double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all of its glory. And I, John, fell at his feet as though I was dead. And he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid, for I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, but now I am alive. And I hold the keys of death and Hades. And then later on in his vision, I looked, says John, and I heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands, 10,000 times 10,000, on earth, and they encircled the throne, and the living creatures and the elders. In a voice they sang, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. And I heard every creature in heaven on earth and under the earth and on the sea, all of them singing, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and power and glory forever and ever. You know, human words cannot do justice to the glory and the majesty of Christ and his heavenly Father and the Holy Spirit. These are words which are even given in such great glory in John's vision and in the words of Scripture are an understatement when it comes to expressing who Jesus Christ really is. You and I are going to be simply astounded when we come face to face with our Lord in heaven. We will probably fall at his feet as John did. Now we know there's a force in the world. As Scripture says, the time will be when good will be made out to be evil, and evil will be made out to be good. Isn't that a description of the world we live in today? We are on the brink, I believe, of whatever. The hatred, the animosity, the self-indulgence, the lust for power and money, the total disregard for any moral standards and law, the rule of law, all of those things are upon us. There are those who want to bring in a new world order, you know, and Christ is not a part of that. The dichotomy, the great chasm between the left wing and the right wing is getting wider and wider, threatening violence and destruction. We all know. And on a personal level, as individuals, we all have our own battlegrounds, don't we? We all get discouraged. We all get depressed in some degree or another. We are all fearful. We all have our doubts, our anxiety, our regrets, our guilt, our times of sadness and brokenness. Well, we know where our focus is. And this Sunday is the focus on hope. And you know, hope is not, like I said to the children, hope is not having your fingers crossed and saying, oh God, you know, please bring, I'm hoping something's going to happen. I'm hoping my family will find salvation, or I'm hoping that so-and-so will be healed of their sickness, whatever it is. Hope is not knocking on wood, you know, that something will work out. Hope is rooted in God himself. Hope is rooted in the solid foundation, which is Jesus Christ and all of his glory. That is where hope is, and it is in nowhere else. It's not in ourselves. It's not in our circumstances. It's not in our leaders. Hope is rooted in Jesus Christ and all that he is and all that he does. So I would pray, as I pray for you all anyway, pray that you would truly know more and more the hope that God lays out for us as believers. The hope in this broken world, the hope in our fractured lives, where God lays out his son and says, this is your hope. This is my son who has come in the flesh and is now going to come again as the Lord of lords and the King of kings, the Lord of the nations. I just leave you with this one quote. At Wycliffe College in Toronto, we had an amazing theology professor. And I will always remember one sentence he said in class. He said, the problems of the church, you know, our decline, our all of our sins, you know, and the problems as individuals we are not defined by our problems. They do not define us. They do not tell who we are. Our sins, our problems, our failures, our discouragements, our defeats. We are defined by who Jesus Christ is. And simply that. He is the one who defines us. He is the one who gives us identity and purpose and meaning and substance. He is the one who gives us hope. So remember, God is big enough to handle all of this. He's bigger than you and I. He's bigger than the world. He's bigger than any threat which may come upon his people. Let us all be embraced by him and consumed by him, that he would take us over and we would be found in a place of hope and strength. Lord, thank you so much for who you are, the God of glory. Help us, Lord, to focus on you in all things, that you may be life, that you may be the blood in our veins and the air in our lungs. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.